Please be seated. Well, it's Labor Day weekend. The official end of the summer, the day the sideburns come off. It's been a fun run, I might add. I've felt 10 years younger. In theory, Monday is a day of rest. A day we rest from our work as mandated starting in 1894 by the U.S. government. I thought we'd take a look at the Sabbath from a biblical perspective today on this proverbial weekend of rest. Many of you know that the commandment on the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. If you remember, the Ten Commandments were given to the people of Israel after they came out of Egypt. In other words, they're not an entrance exam. They're not a measure by which we see how we're doing if we're good enough to get into God's family. They were given to God's family as household rules. Now that you're in the family, here's how a family exists and relates to one another. It's not a matter of in or out. It's here's the family. Here are the gifts that help us function well as a family. These household rules, of which honoring the Sabbath is one, were intended to reflect God's character and values of His kingdom, of His family. So why in the world did He give them this gift of the Sabbath? Quite frankly, a commandment that's been misused and misunderstood for thousands of years, probably since the day He gave it. We're looking at Deuteronomy 5. You might want to open a Bible in front of you if you brought one, or have your bulletin in front of you. As we look at three questions: what does the commandment mean? Why is it important? And how do we obey it? Three simple questions for this Labor Day Sunday. What does the commandment mean? Why is it important for us? And how do we obey it? So first, what does the fourth commandment mean? Deuteronomy 5:12 begins this way: observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. What is a Sabbath to the Lord? Sabbath is a day of rest. It means to cease striving from work. But what is a Sabbath that's holy? If you look at Exodus 20, another rendition of the Ten Commandments, you'll notice that actually the Ten Commandments and this commandment in particular is rooted in the creation story. On the seventh day, God ceased from His work. The Sabbath commemorates God's perfect creation and was given so we might take a whole day to delight in and celebrate the character and nature of a perfect God and His perfect creation. Sabbath, a day of rest to delight in God's creation and to delight in God. He blessed that day and made it holy. Holy means to set apart. It's set apart, it's unique, it has its own characteristics. A day that's set apart to delight, to joy in and relish in God's creation, His goodness, and His character. Simply this: God wants us to delight in Him and His good and perfect gifts, to rest. So let me just stop for a second and ask you, what in your life do you delight in? What delights your heart? What is it? What part of creation that God has given to you do you say, man, that makes me feel alive? Yesterday, college football started. I feel alive when my Wildcats are winning. I promise not to mention them in a sermon the rest of the season. Later on, we were at the O'Donovans. We went out to their backyard. We're throwing the football around. Man, I love running. I love sports. You know, Charlie was heaving me passes down their long field. Man, I was making diving, incredible one-handed grabs. Music. Traveling. This summer, I was in Colorado up in the mountains, 12,000 feet. Man, mountains. I feel alive when I'm up there. Dancing. Work. What is it that you delight in, that God has particularly given you? He knows how you're created, and you say, man, I love it. God wants you to delight in His gifts. Have you stopped and ever just said, man, this is amazing? What a gift to be able to celebrate. Maybe it's taking naps, playing games, being with family or friends. Maybe it's knitting. What is it? What do you love to do? How are you wired that you just feel alive? God says, I want to make sure you live a life of delight. Enough of this crazy Christian, oh, life's so hard. Yes, life can be hard. We're not downplaying the pain and suffering of a broken world. But God says, look, take a day and set it aside for delight. That's why I'm giving you this commandment. You might delight in me and in my gifts. That's why he gave it to us. A whole day to set aside, to revel in who God is and what he's doing and what he has done and what he's given. Now, why is this an important commandment? Why was it given? Well, you notice in the Deuteronomy text in front of us, it doesn't refer to the creation story, but rather to the Exodus story. Verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out of slavery with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. What's this about? Remember, the Israelites were slaves. No days off. Their whole purpose for living was to work. If they worked, he gave them meat. If they worked, he gave them rest and peace. If they worked, they'd be satisfied because of the hand of Pharaoh. It's called slavery. I work and I get. If I don't work, I don't get. That's slavery. God, by his power and grace, said, not only are you under Pharaoh's oppressive hand, you're slaves to work. Work was not meant to be the object or means of your salvation. Work was not meant to be, in the original creation, the object or instrument by which you get your satisfaction and security. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you work to get money to get satisfied by the things you really want to do? How many of you view your work as a way to get or to receive worldly affirmation or a sense of, look, I'm going to prove to somebody in my past that I am worth it by the way that I work? Work was meant to be a gift, we're told in Genesis 1 and 2. A way that we join God in just delighting in, organizing, and ruling over, really serving, God's creation. He had already provided all the things we needed in the garden. Work was a gift, actually the Hebrew word means worship. It's the way we worship God, by figuring out how we're wired up, entering into his creation, and then doing what he's called us to do. Do you see where I'm going with this? The Sabbath was a gift after the fall to people who thought work was actually the means to really live and be satisfied, to get money and prestige and opportunities that will make us whole. Work was salvation for the Israelites. And God said, look, I want to remind you, you still live in a broken world, don't get me wrong, but that ultimately your salvation is not in your work. Your identity, even the money that you earn, it's a gift. It's something God gives us. We're stewards of. And it's so easy to get distorted view of work and of our worth and who we are. So many people thinking that they matter in life because they've made millions of dollars or because they hold a certain position. Others thinking they don't matter in life. They're purposeless because they've never made the money or had the position that they wanted, although they're trying really hard. Well, some of you I know the secret. Whether you're in a job that pays a lot of money or you're in a job that doesn't, you've found what you were wired up to do, and there's a joy and a peace because you're not ensnared by work having to be your salvation, having to be your identity. You just are so excited to join God in your work, whether you're working on Wall Street or, in this case, down in the mercantile, or whether you're teaching or raising kids, or whether you're painting or doing someone's lawn. There's a joy because you're fulfilling God's purpose. And work, yes, God uses it to provide finances, uses it to provide structure and opportunity, but ultimately it's not your salvation. God gives us this Sabbath day rest to remind us we live in a broken world, and don't fall into the trap that what you do is who you are. It's just not true. It's an important gift. It's an important commandment. To make the top 10, God said, look, don't believers, followers of me, go back to Egypt in your minds. Become a slave. Let your whole life be about your work. Work is good. Work is a gift. When we find what we're created to do, yeah, there are tough days. We live in a broken world. It's going to be hard. Let's not sugarcoat work. But you know what? Ultimately, it's more about fulfilling our purpose in life, using gifts we were created to do, than about seeking our salvation. What's your purpose? How are you wired up? After a 10-year hiatus, my wife's going back to teaching this year. She's teaching physics. Whew, she was explaining to me in the car the physics definition of work. I think it was distance times force. Is that right? You define work by distance times force. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm so glad there are people like her who can figure out how everything works. Although it's been a challenge to get prepared, there's a spring in her step. This woman was made to teach. She glorifies God when she's using her amazing brain and coming alongside high school kids and teaching them how to teach. It's amazing to watch. She becomes alive. What's it for you? Is this an opportunity to say, wait a minute, God, am I doing what you've called me to do? Am I joining you? Am I using my gifts? Or am I just, is work enslaving me, just an obligation? Sabbath is an opportunity every week to say, God, I haven't been delighting in you or your creation. I haven't been fulfilled in what you've called me to do. And so I want to come back, I want to ask you, show me how to work. Show me what to work. What a gift each week to take that spiritual and life inventory. What's it given for? To delight in God and His creation, who we are and what He's called us to do. It's important because we forget, because of sin, we make work what it was never supposed to be. Our hearts continually, ministers too, make it about them and about their security and identity. God gives it to us as a gift. And finally, how do we keep it? How do we keep it? I will make a confession. Throughout the year, it might seem that I have a negative connotation of golf. Because I will make comments like, I know some of you, rather, and I don't blame you actually, but would rather be playing golf. There's more delight in golf than hanging out at church. Guess what? The problem is not golf. You know where I'm going with that? I think golf is a gift. Some people delight in it. The problem is maybe church isn't that great. Maybe you don't experience Christ. There's not a joy and peace. There's not healing. There's not a sense of, wow, I've redirected who I am and what I'm going. So that actually when I get on the golf course, I don't swear when I make a bad shot. I can just rejoice in the opportunity. Look at me. I get to play on the finest golf clubs in the world. Have you ever worshiped God on the golf course? What an amazing place to worship. What a sanctuary. Football. Being at Ravens games, giving God glory, amazing competition, fun, being with friends, high-fiving strangers, what fellowship, right? Sometimes I get a little frustrated. Choose golf other than church. It might seem like I don't think football is a good thing to do on the Sabbath. Man, does it draw you closer to Christ? Does it give you a sense that you're alive and you love it? It's worship. Now, I don't necessarily mean it needs to be in place of church, because you need community and Christians to help you focus so that when you're at the game, you can delight in His creation. But let's go down the list. A day where we delight in His creation and in Him. Here's the key, connecting the dots. How many of us live lives where we've got our spiritual life and we've got our real life? I do. I'll have a quiet time in the morning. 20 minutes later, I've totally forgotten all about God and what I just studied 20 minutes ago. The Sabbath is trying to teach us to connect the dots between real life, that which we love, and God, and inviting God in. I don't know how you need to celebrate the Sabbath. This word in verse 15 says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. So clearly there's an idea of going back and remembering what Christ has done. If you're not a Christian, if you're not connected to Christ, if you haven't trusted him with your life, it's going to be hard to remember that he set you free. So maybe for the Sabbath for you is actually figuring out how to come to Christ and be set free at the start. Maybe a Sabbath would just start saying, God, I want to know you more and figure out what it means to follow you. Taking a day a week to say, this day is going to be about trying to see God more and more in my life. For others, it might be saying, God, I'm not going to go my own way. Will you come in and infuse my life today with you? Help me to see what you're doing. Will you infuse my free time? Would you infuse my my thoughts, my relationships, my speech? I'll make a confession. Saturdays have been tough for me since I've become a pastor. I have an internal challenge. I want to watch college football all day. Terrell, you know this. Mary. And yet Sundays come and I usually have a sermon not always quite finished. I want to spend time with my family and invest in my kids. And I was literally praying about this. I'm like, okay, God, I'm not doing necessarily what you do because I'd like to sit on the couch. Like I said, yesterday, the O'Donovans invited us over. That's not true. I invited myself over to the O'Donovans. We sat around with fellowship. They said, stay for dinner. We went out, and we had a great time, did we not? Just fun to be together. And as I was preparing this finally this morning, I thought, okay, God, I need you to do more like that, more things like that. I would have sat on the couch all day and driven my wife crazy. Not that I'm going to invite myself over to your house every Saturday. But God, would you at least begin to work in my free time and in my thinking and in my life and take that which can be a good thing or a bad thing and make it full of joy and delight. I don't know what it's going to mean for you to honor the Sabbath. But I know that it's an invitation to delight in God's creation and in God. I know we all need it because we have a tendency in our hearts to get confused about God and his creation and our work. And ultimately, I know that he tailors it to each of us that we might conform our lives to him at least once a week. So, that the other 6 days, we get in the habit of delighting in him as well. Let's pray. Jesus, would you make the Sabbath a delight for the people of the Church of the Resurrection? Would you show us how to delight in you, to bring you in, to connect the dots between our life and you outside of services? Father, would you convict us where we've been disobedient, gone our way and not connected the dots? Would you invite us? Would you draw people who don't know how to remember because they've never experienced you working in their lives to experiencing you now that they might taste and see that you are good? Father, may we learn to worship you in all circumstances, as it says in Colossians. May you continue to lead us as we seek to grow and honor your household rules. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.